Any children would like to come down and join me over here? Hi there. All are well. We're all God's children. You should all be down here. How many of you remember Pastor Mandy? Yeah. And she knew your name, and she knew all about you, and if you saw her on the street, you'd say hi, and she was just part of the family, wasn't she? But now you've got these new people, and even though we're doing the same things as Mandy, we're very different from Mandy. And even though you're the same that you were when Mandy was here, we don't know you. Now, you're Michelle. And because I asked earlier, I know your name's Truman, right? No. No, Truman's a little one. Ah, see? So what's your name?
Henry.
Henry. Okay. Well, you know, I really, even though I'm only going to be here for a little while, and I won't even be here on every Sunday, I would like to get to know you a little bit. And so I like to take pictures. Do you have a favorite thing you like to do? What do you like to do, Henry?
Ride on a train.
Ride on a train? Oh, that is fun. That is very fun. How about you, Michelle? Have you got a hobby, something you love to do? Read. Okay. Well, I love to take pictures. And so what I did was I printed a copy of a picture I took. And what I would really like you to do is either write something on the back so I'll know a little bit about you. Or you can draw a picture. Do you think I should give you one for Truman, too?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea, too. And then I won't be here for a couple of weeks, but you can bring them back and put them in the offering so that both Pastor Karen and I can start to learn a little bit about you. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Okay, here's two for you. Do you have any siblings that come? Yeah, how many? A brother? Okay. Well, I think we need to talk about that, but there you go. I beg your pardon? Well, to younger sisters, perhaps. So you can do those and bring them back, and then Pastor Karen and I can share them to find out about you, okay? Okay, now you can go to Sunday school or back to your seats, and this is a story, simply speaking, for all children. So even though you're back there, I did the same thing for you. Because, Donna, where are you right now? Where are you hiding, Donna? Oh, there you are. Actually, that was a great lead-in. Who are you going to call, Ghostbusters? But how are you going to call her? You don't have information about you, me, and you might not even remember my name come crisis time or time when something special is happening. So, as I said, I love to take pictures. So I printed up some pictures that kind of symbolize some of the different reasons you might want to call me. And I'm going to put them in the basket. And actually, Henry, could I get you to help me? You think so? What I'd like you to do is take this basket to all the people and let them pick out a picture. Could you do that for me? Okay, you can do that right now while I'm talking to them, okay? There you go. All the people, and maybe all the people can kind of help Henry too, because, you know, that's what we do as a church family. We help one another. So the pictures, one of the pictures shows a sailboat in the fog, and when I looked at that, I thought, you know, sometimes you're feeling a little lost, and maybe talking to a pastor would help you find your way. Another picture in there is a picture of a lily. And to me, I mean, the biggest celebration in the church, Easter. But also, sometimes you want to talk to the pastor when there's something that you're really excited about and you want to celebrate. So you can call me then. There's a picture of a butterfly. Butterflies represent transformation. Maybe you're going through a time of change, and you'd really like to talk to your pastor. You might even feel like, I really want to talk to Mandy. But since Mandy has moved on, I'm here to offer that pastoral perspective for you. There's one of crashing waves on the Maine coast. Sometimes when the seas get rough, you really want to talk to your pastor. So call me. Over to the other side? How about the people over there? There you go. There's one of the cemetery at the Taos Pueblo. When there is a death of a loved one, a friend, sometimes even just a traumatic situation in the community, you want to have a chance to talk to your pastor. So that's why I chose that picture. And the last one I chose is just a picture of a star and some candles. Sometimes you just want to talk to your pastor. Just a sense of reconnecting with God or just having that safe person to talk with. Then you can call me. Anything that is said to me is said in confidence. Even though I don't have Pastor Mandy's office, wherever we meet, that becomes sacred space. And whatever is told to me is held in confidentiality, unless I have your permission to share it in an appropriate way. So please know that about me. And not only did I give you pictures, but on the back, my name, my phone number, and my email. So please, who are you going to call? The Ghostbusters really aren't all that helpful, and they make a green, slimy mess of your space. And so, please, just call Connie. Thanks.
The readings this morning, the first reading is from Exodus 16, 2 through 15. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around with pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread and heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for the day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard you grumbling against him." "Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said. You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard you grumble against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard you grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert. There was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." The second reading from the Gospel is Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them to the vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and at about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last hired and going to the first. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those who came, who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Here ends the reading of the gospel.
So I don't know about you, but when I'm visiting in churches and hear scripture, my brain starts to do this, like, where's the commonalities and where's the preacher going to go with this? And this one seemed pretty straightforward. That word grumble shows up in both the reading from way back in the book of Exodus and from the lips of Jesus. So let's dig in. In the reading from Exodus, we find ourselves several days, maybe several weeks, onto the journey, right? Traveling through the wilderness. Note that in spite of the amazing actual Exodus itself, from under the cruelty of Pharaoh, thanks to the miracle of God's actions displayed first through Moses and Aaron and their sister Miriam, and then frogs and gnats and flies, oh my, boils and sores and locusts, oh my, hail and fire and darkness, oh my, death and escape, oh my, now here we are in the wilderness. And if only God had killed us when we were living our routine little lives back under Pharaoh's power in Egypt. But no, you, Aaron and Moses, you had to drag us out here to die from hunger in the wilderness. Whine, whine, whine. There's no pleasing folks, right? Although I do want to give them some credit, because what a huge risk they took. After all, Moses was a poser, right? He had been raised as the grandson of Pharaoh. Oh, and now he says God talked to him and he's going to lead the people out of Egypt. It was a very disconcerting time, and how frightening was it to take on the very armies of Pharaoh? But really, all those plagues and the death, as we heard the song last week, the horses and riders have been thrown into the sea. Hadn't all of that convinced them that something big was happening in their lives? So God tells Moses of God's new relief plan for his people, if you will, quails and manna. And so Moses and Aaron go to the people and they explain this yet another sign of God's faithfulness. And then they add, quit your griping against us. In verse 7, scripture says that Moses said, Yahweh has heard your complaining against God's self. What are we? Who are we? We're mere servants of God that you complain against us. And then go home and read verse 8, because almost verbatim, Moses repeats that again. Don't blame us. It wasn't us that caused this journey to happen. So you might say that, like, Moses and Aaron are passing the buck. Blame God. Don't get mad at us if things aren't working out so great. Don't you love the humanity of that? They have already stuck their necks out, Aaron and Moses. The journey has already started. The whining and complaining is crescendoing. Oh, but by the way, our patient and faithful God has a pretty strong plan for going forward. Makes you wonder if Moses and Aaron weren't too sure, really, if it would work out, if God had good follow through. You know, I find this story here at the beginning of the wandering in the wilderness very reassuring. In these days of hurricanes and earthquakes and suffering and threats of nuclear war and seemingly immoral political leadership, with many others, I find myself in lamentation. Where are you, God? Now, I know that God doesn't send these massive natural disasters, right? I know that our global population increase and our development practices and our fossil fuel consumption and our selfishness, which wants what it wants when we want it, and let it be easy, please. Our humanness, right, has made the current bed that we're lying in. Can't blame God. I'm not so different, though, from my Jewish ancestors. I want to blame somebody, or maybe even blame God. Then I don't have to do the hard work examining my own life, my own behavior, my own choices, and how hard it might be to live a different way. I'm kind of with my ancestors in the wilderness. Then we get the lectionary reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Oh man, storyteller, truth teller Jesus steps forward with this story, which has traditionally been called the laborers in the vineyard, but what a misnomer, because that parable is not about the laborers. Except secondarily, that parable is about the owner of the vineyard, about God in the guise of the owner of the vineyard. The owner who goes out and hires workers at 6 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock and noon and 3 and 5. 5 rounds of hiring throughout the day. And at the end, he pays them, beginning with those who he hired last, and then paying those who worked all day, and reasonably, of course, the ones who were hired first expected to get a whole lot more than those last hired. Boy, did they grumble and whine and complain. But lo and behold, hear the voice of God at the very end of this parable, where the owner says, "Friend, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me around this payment issue? Take what belongs to you, and we're done here. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to the first. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what is mine? Or are you envious because I am generous? Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what is mine? Are you envious because I'm generous?" Friends, this is the kind of leadership that our church and our communities and our nation and really our world needs. This is the kind of testifying, if you will bring the church universal back from the edge of obsolescence. Generosity of spirit, shared resources, shared life, tit for tat, no more, never again, never should have been, no tit for tat, rather, oh look, a need, we can meet that need. with God and in real community with one another, the promise is that there will be quail and manna enough for all and enough to last the entire journey. With God and real community, we will show the world that greed is simply destructive. Scarcity is a myth. There is enough and more than enough for all of us. Speaking truth to power and matching action to our words, we can pull down the mighty from their thrones and truly create the beloved community. Friends, we have no time to lose. We need to get at it. And maybe our holy book can remind us that even if the going gets tough along the way, we should quit our complaining and just keep on the path. Thanks be to God.